have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in Big Ten.
Final four!
I think you've got me this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, Sam, Tyler, and Robert. We figured we'd give you one more episode for your drive down to Indy or your flight out to Indy or however you're getting to Indy. Plus, we're also a little bit nervous, so we figured if we talked this out a little bit longer that maybe we'd feel better. Got a lot more to talk about here. As always, we'll defer to Tyler and Robert to start. Guys, we're less than 48 hours from game time. What's the vibe check?
And less than what? Less than 9 hours from departure. Tyler, when are you leaving?
Early. I mean, we're the first team with media availability tomorrow. We're the first team that has open practice. I think open practice is at 11. Media availability for Brad Underwood and the players is at 10:15, which is 9:15 our time, 3.5 hours to get there. So that has me leaving at 5:30 or so. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably leaving at like 6:45 from here.
We now feel
better. Yeah, vibes are strong.
Yeah.
Good vibes only.
Good.
There's nothing to think about. Like, it just float on air. Like, we're in the Final Four. What possible bad thing could happen? Oh, we lose? Okay, well, we went to Final Four in 2026. Oh, we win? Oh, we win our first national title. Like, there's no, like, your question is basically, are we at a 9.9 or a 9.6? Because no one could possibly be below, and anyone below a 9.6 is fooling themselves and shouldn't be a sports fan, because this is why we do it. This is it. This is it right here. Final Four, chance at a national championship.
I wish you had told us before we told you a 9 o'clock recording time that you'd have to leave at 5 and 6:45 respectively. So we appreciate you joining us at this hour.
I think I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know why. As I was saying that, I was like, wait a minute.
I'm on pure adrenaline. I mean, I'm usually, and my friends can back this up, I'm usually at a 10 on vacation. This is like 11, 12, 13, 19, 17 for 17. Me.
I've never heard vacation in Indianapolis be used in the same sentence before. Mm. So it's and the way Barnhart, I made this joke the other day, used promised land in Indianapolis in the same sentence last week was great too. So a couple of shout out to Indianapolis. Josh, Johnny, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the best weeks of our lives, right? Like, there's just nothing to possibly be upset about. This is just happy days and just, we've waited for this moment for so long. I mean, Maddie and Sam, you literally have never experienced this before as Illini fans, to just have the week to soak it all in and be saying, we're one of the four teams. Josh and I experienced this when we were children and had waited 21 long years in between. Like, it's amazing to finally be back to something that when I was 8, I thought was going to happen all the time. Right. And It's almost like the better to have loved and lost than have never loved. And now you're back in love and we're in the Final Four again. And there was a time in 2016 where you thought this was never going to happen. It just seemed like we were one bat higher away from Illinois basketball, basically falling off the face of the universe. And now we can just plant our flag and say, we're so back. There's nothing that you can possibly say that Illinois basketball is not just one of, basically now one of the 10 most important programs in the country. Like, we've leapfrogged so many other places and so many other teams. And it feels so good to have stayed on the island and stayed following this team when a lot of people jumped off the bandwagon, to be like, nope, the loyalty. And I think we on this podcast, Robert and Tyler in particular, can say, like, we were preaching to people to just, like, stay on course, right? Believe when we were bad and just believe in a vision. And now for that vision to have come true, it's surreal and it's hard to describe.
I need you to go back to, you said you were how old in 2005?
I was 8 turning 9.
Okay, so I need to know what your level of Illinois sports fandom was at age 8, Johnny.
I mean, D. Brown was like my favorite person in the universe. Like, I would wear his jersey to school all the time. Like, New Year's 2003 and 2004 and in 2005, I'm wearing a D. Brown jersey. Like, I had a blue D. Brown jersey and an orange D. Brown jersey. Like, my AIM screen name was Assist Boy 11. like I was always wearing number 11 in sports, trying to do it. Like, this, these guys were my heroes. And then you watch that Elite Eight game and they're just like invincible, right? And I was so young that, like, I was not giving up watching that game. My parents were like, you know, Johnny, like, it's probably going to end. And then they went and did, had one of the most miraculous comebacks. So it was, it not only is like something where you fall in love with basketball, but fall in love with sports was that team. So thinking about how many kids there are right now getting that experience again with Illinois sports is just like, it's magical.
Yeah, that's what I had touched on when I wrote my article this week, that this team is for that generation more than anything, because this will always be their touchstone, the team that they identify and fall in love with like you did in 2005. So that's awesome to hear.
The reason I had to go to game day tonight is because a high school friend's son is going to the game in Indy on Saturday. And he wanted a Stojakovic jersey. So I went up to game day to get him. You know, there's like no way I'm not getting a 15-year-old kid a Stojakovic jersey. Like, this is, you know, his fandom is now locked in for life. And he's going to be there at the Final Four. And, like, I felt like I should put out a tweet of, like, anybody wants a jersey, I'll just be here for the next hour and I'll bring it for your kids, because we are building the next generation here.
And just thinking about, like, oh, in our day, it was like, oh, are you a D or a Darren or a Luther? And now it's like, are you a Keaton? Are you an Andre? Are you a David? Like, it's special.
I used to be like that really annoying kid where someone would wear a number 11 Illinois jersey from like 2009. And they'd be like, yeah, it's a Darren Williams jersey. And I'd be like, that's not the jersey they wore in 05. But now it's like, you can truly like rock each player, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know, like, this is new to me, but, like, you could just go walk in, pick out the type of jersey you want. You wanted script Illinois, pick out the player you want, and walking out 15 minutes later with it created and handed to me, and money goes to Andre. So it was awesome.
Oh, my God. Who is the first player to wear D. Brown's jersey? Was it Aaron Cosby? I remember being, like, deeply offended that the number 11 almost like came out of retirement for a little bit.
Wasn't it Alex Legion? No. Okay. Tyler, you remember?
Nope. Not even remotely.
Yeah.
Aaron Cosby. That is a deep. I just remember his shorts were
really. Was he a Seton Hall transfer?
Yeah. Seton Hall, and then West, or maybe he transferred to Western Kentucky. Really embarrassed to not know this, guys. I'm sorry.
You got to know that.
I'm sorry.
Well, Alex Legion was 33. Okay. So. Maybe it was Aaron.
Mini Oracle is
yeah, pulling yeah. I know we're Oracle. Derailing here. We're derailing here. Josh, how are you feeling? Final Four week.
I said I was floating on when we recorded on Monday night. I think the float has not worn off. I am not saying it's worn off, but it is getting, the nerves are going, because I just want to be there. I want to be in Indianapolis. I want to be able to experience a Final Four, something I've never been to myself in person. And I mean, that's an obvious comment, but like, I'm just so excited for the day, getting to the stadium. We're deep in the nosebleeds and I am so thrilled to be there. I feel like it's just one of those events that, like, it doesn't matter where you are. All that matters is that you got to be there and in person. And based on what our friends on the field path said, is there's gonna be a lot of orange there. A lot of orange, and I'm so excited to see that. I feel like for the bowl game, like in Nashville, like there was a decent amount of our color orange, and like I felt like surrounded by my best friends, and like just the overall like Illinois enthusiasm was so high, probably the highest I've ever felt it in person. And I know that's gonna be 50 times more in Indianapolis this weekend, and I am so damn excited.
I mean,
So it's not nerves about the games. It's
even the
not
shoot
nerves about
around
the
tomorrow
games.
is going to be crazy. Like the shoot around in St. Louis in 05 was famous for like 30,000 Illini fans showing up. I'm very curious what the shoot around is like tomorrow since it's open to the public. Like I part of me wants to stick around for all four shoot arounds just to get shots of the crowd at all four, because I feel like ours is going to be 10 times everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing Willard when they came back, crazy. And just seeing, like, we're talking about how universal or like Illinois is to the fact that they're lighting up the Sears Tower in Chicago, orange and blue. Like, are you kidding me? Chicago wanted nothing to do with this program. We couldn't even have a game at the United Center for 7 years. And now they're lighting the Sears Tower orange and blue.
Who's
Like,
Chicago's Big Ten team now?
yes. Yeah.
That's funny.
Let me interject with the evolution of number 11 since D. Brown left. And that's an excellent. So D. Brown wore it through 2006. Then it went unused until 2015. And yes, you were correct. For the one season, the magical season of Aaron Cosby in 2015. And then in 2018, the immortal Greg
Greg.
Ebogboiden
Yeah.
before Io. And then Alfonso Plummer. And no one sets. No
Now,
sense.
when was the first time somebody wore Darren after Darren?
I have that. It was JCL wore it in 2016, 2017.
Okay.
Tevian Jones in 2019, 2020. And then, of course, Andre Curbelo wore it famously. So there was.
That
And
one's
can you
not.
give us the history of the number 77 jersey on the basketball side? One guy.
Johnny, I know you had a list of questions we were brainstorming this evening what to talk about with the gents here. I know this is like our third Final Four episode, and Johnny was like, I still have tons of
Oh my
questions and
God,
tons
so
of
many
things.
things to talk about.
Johnny's like, I have binders full of questions that I want to ask Tyler and Robert and talk about with you guys this evening.
Okay, one of them right off the bat, Robert, we had you on for an early podcast, and this was probably right around the start of the Big Ten season, and Keaton had played a nice game, and you said to us, what if Keaton Wagler is the Trey Burke of this team? And it was all we were all referencing he's going to come back next year and be Trey Burke. And then over the course of the season, he became our Trey Burke as a freshman. So I just want to talk about how crazy this evolution has been.
Okay, I got to shout out my friend Eric because that was his take. He would just text me throughout, like when Keaton would show up in like big games in December and this and that, he would just send me this text, our Trey Burke question mark. And this is Blazer, who, if you're old school Illini board like Tyler and I, but yes, this was Eric's thing of like, what if that's the comp? And certainly has shown to be. You know, the crazy, like, remember there's that thing on Twitter, and I retweeted it, just some random guy who said in December, like, after maybe it was even in November, he compared Keaton to SGA, and people just jumped all over him. Like, this is you're talking about the NBA MVP, and Keaton, like, he won't even be 1/10 of that player, and all this stuff at the time. And now it's like, wait, is he baby SGA? Is like, what's happening here? So, yes, that's the craziest thing about this season. Look. Remember when somebody had sent me an article that was like from October after Underwood had said, like, he's going to be up there at that level. Somebody sent me an article. He'd be the greatest freshman in Illini history. And I mocked that article with anybody I talk to about it, I'm like, come on, like we're talking about history here. Well, he's the greatest freshman in Illini history, hands down.
Let me give you
Yeah.
a free, let me give you my, so when did you take first make though that Trey Burke claim? When did Blazer make it that you, and you repeated it? What are we talking about time frame wise?
Did you make it first
No,
to Blazer? Oh.
I'm going the other direction. I'm gonna read to you my freezing cold take from December.
Okay.
We
I'm gonna
we have an earlier
search.
one from this podcast from our perspective. We drafted from a freezing cold take perspective. We drafted our in order the 12 players that we are most excited to see. Guess where Keaton landed on that list?
Ninth?
That's
Ninth.
exactly nine.
Ninth. And it was strictly because
Steal! I got a steal! I got. We
we needed to
refused.
bat.
We refused because Brad was like, "You guys have no idea what's coming." We refused to fall for the Brad Underwood hyperbole, so we were all like, "Yeah, we're not taking Keaton. We're not taking Keaton. We're not taking." And I think he fell. He fell to me, I think. Nine. We
You
refused.
picked
He was
Ty
drafted
Rogers
Rodgers
after
beforehand.
Keaton.
Oh, I
Yeah.
picked Ty Rodgers before. I was like, Ty Rodgers is playing this year, and he's gonna come out. Yeah, so I'll wear that one. Tyler, is your take even colder though?
Oh, yes. Well, because I had some context. So this after the UConn game, so there's a tie-in here. After the UConn game, in which Underwood clearly had not settled on a rotation yet. Mihailo scored. I mean, he played 18 minutes, and Brandon Lee played 14 minutes in that game. And so the rotation was definitely still up in the air. And this is what I wrote as a column a week after that game. I'm gonna read it this paragraph, that and this is coming from your basketball expert on alignaboard.com. Wagler obviously had a head start in this race and has been fantastic, although against lesser competition. In the bye games, Wagler's averaged 17 points and 6 rebounds, shooting 57% on 2 points and 38% from the arc. However, in the 3 games against Texas Tech, Alabama, and UConn, those numbers dropped to 7 points and 3 rebounds at just 33% from two and 22% from three. Here's where it gets really good. He was basically a non-factor against UConn in 14 minutes on the floor, and it's reasonable to wonder if Underwood will remain patient with Wagler if he continues to struggle against high major competition. Boom.
Oh boy.
I
Roasted.
think he did remain patient with him.
Keep calm and play Keaton. Is look, Tyler, every once in a while, even Tyler Cottingham from IlliniBoard.com is off a little bit. That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
That was a cool that
It's just a testament to how amazing he's been. And to be fair, that UConn game was the catalyst for a complete shift in Underwood's philosophy on what to do with the offense. And that's when he gave the keys to Keaton famously, and it's been, all American ever since. But yeah.
I'm looking back at this now. It did not age well. We have
Oh,
Jake Davis 11th out of 12th. That's pretty bad.
your draft.
Behind we
Where
did
was
here.
Petrovic?
Flip. He was third. Johnny took him third.
Yeah,
So
I was in on Petrovic.
the first so it went Maddie first to Kylan, then I took Tommy, then Johnny took Mihailo, Josh took Andre, then it went David. David, not bad, not bad at five before the season. David 5, Zvonimir 6, Ben 7, Ty 8, Keaton 9, Brandon Lee 10, Jake Davis 11, Jason Yakstis 12. Man, I'm sorry, Jake Davis.
No, I love looking back too. I've gone back a lot to the Illini board preview, and there's some great nuggets in there. I mean, Robert starts it off with talking about the Merry Men, basically saying there was this contingent of fans under the Bruce Weber era who saw basically these terrible recruiting rankings and us missing out on all the top guys. And everyone was saying, well, I believe in Bruce Weber. He took us to a national championship and basically like ignored all of the other data that was in front of him to then basically say, now we don't have any good recruiting data. And Brad Underwood has changed things so much on the fly that I believe him. And I'm just now turned into a Merryman. And let me just read you a quote from this. He says, best I can do in these Illini conversations is point to the head coach. He obviously saw something in Tomislav Ivicic, so I'm going to trust that he sees something in his brother. You obviously knew that Kylan Boswell would be a great fit transferring home from Arizona. So now I'll trust him that Andre Stojakovic is the right fit to transfer here from Cal. He found Jakučionis in a professional league in Europe. So now I'll trust he found something in Petrovic in a professional league in Europe. He's going to compare Keaton Wagler, an unranked player, to Will Riley, our highest recruit since D. Okay, let's not get too crazy.
And
But.
only he'd have said Mirkovic instead of Petrovic in that quote, he would have really
But yeah,
been.
exactly. But at one point he says earlier, like the 24/7 composite rankings have Brandon Lee 123, Mirkovic 138, Petrovic 182, and Wagler 260. But if Underwood wants them here, I want them here. It's you made the right time to have belief. I'll say that, Robert.
He always was a merry man.
It's
As a foundational member of the merry men.
funny. I'm sitting here going back through so December, or I'm sorry, October 20th is the first time Eric and I were talking about our, and it started as like a joke. Okay, here, I'm just gonna go through this. This is the read stuff off of your phones and off of former articles episode. Basically this starts, Tyler, with hold on, I'm trying to pull it back up here. This starts with a discussion of who could be Mitch McGarry on this team, like, and that thing. And so if like, okay, well, if Merk is our Mitch McGarry, that was his comp for Merk. Well, then who's our Trey Burke? And he says, well, maybe it's, Wagler. This is before we knew anything. It was before even the exhibition game. And it's just like, okay, well, maybe we can dream and it's going to be Wagler. And then it came true. And he pointed to what you wrote in your October article. I think this is after you had covered,
The scrimmage against ISU, probably.
yes, the scrimmage. Yes. Here's, I'm just going to read you your words on Merck and Wagler from
Okay.
that.
All right.
This isn't the one you were just quoting, right? You were
No,
quoting after
the,
UConn.
I had
Yes.
the one I quoted from was after UConn.
Yes. David Mirkovic. Obviously the man of the match today with 19 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, and no fouls in 30 minutes. I thought I was getting a reliable backup power forward, kind of a clean up the garbage plotter, but I left today beyond impressed by a guy with far more versatile skill set than I expected. The rebounding was a given, and I was not surprised to see him knock down an open shot or two, but his comfort zone and confidence as a playmaker, both on and off the ball, was by far the most pleasant surprise of the day.
Oh, there we go. Not bad.
Well stated. Well stated. Keaton Wagler. I'm actually glad Wagler struggled a little bit today. The hype on him coming in was borderline ridiculous, and hopefully today allowed for a little recalibration of expectations for this freshman. That said, he acquitted himself nicely. His shot looked pure. He only turned it over once in 27 minutes, and he was more than willing to mix it up on defense. My concern with Wagler, as with most freshmen, is his lack of strength. He was often knocked off course on dribble drives and only managed 2 rebounds. But all in all, though, he had the look of a guy who will be part of the backcourt rotation.
All right, so an A plus assessment of Mirkovic and a C plus assessment of
I'll give
Keaton.
you a B minus. I'll give
Okay.
you a B minus. You noted his knack for things, and
Yeah.
that knack has carried us to the Final
You know,
Four.
I think that in retrospect, the I was looking for at the time, and knowing how Brad Underwood likes to, I don't want to say exaggerate, but he's not shy about showering praise upon players that we have nobody has seen. And I felt like that, and maybe subconsciously I wanted to knock that back because I didn't want to believe it because I didn't want to be over the moon already. So I felt like maybe I need to put my fingers in the holes in the hands there before I actually believed it. But so
Yeah.
that may have tainted my assessment early on, but
I'm looking at your guys' draft here that whoever just texted. I don't know who wins. I mean, it's probably Maddie with both Boswell and Wagler, but Josh has Stojakovic and Mirkovic.
it's close. It's, I mean, or in this example, is Ty fully healthy, Robert?
No, it's just pure production.
It's
Can we change the rules for
That
Maddie?
Is that, I mean, well, doesn't that make a big difference?
You know,
Well,
that
same with
brings a
Jason.
point. That
Same
brings a
with
point to
Jason.
my
If he was
mind.
fully healthy, he would have contributed.
That's
Yeah,
right.
well, yeah.
Maddie, it's
Remember his
worth
two
noting.
dunks? It brings to mind this point. I put that tweet out yesterday about try to come up with with five freshmen in two classes, scouted as well as Will Riley, KJ, Merez Johnson, Keaton Wagler, and David Mirkovich. Some guy responded saying, "Reading this just pains me because we could have had all five playing together," which brings my brain to, "We lost three of them and went to the Final Four." Like,
Yeah.
if we win a national title, it doesn't matter. Like, that's the recruiting world that I can't stand at times. Like, that guy is living so much in the hypothetical world of, "Oh man, it pains me to see that we could have had Merez. We could have had Will Riley come back and play on this team." It doesn't pain anyone.
Well,
It
it's also
doesn't matter
wrong.
to anyone at all. We are in the Final Four. We
It's
might be
also
the national champions, and then there is no, like, "Oh my God, we could have had these." No, we have the single best team. Sorry.
it's
Sorry.
also completely no go off King, but it's also completely incorrect because if Will Riley and KJ somehow or Merez are somehow convinced to stay, you're not bringing in some of those guys that you brought in this year. It's a
Absolutely.
completely unrealistic parallel universe that does not happen. There is no universe in which those five could have been a starting five this
Yep.
year.
Somebody else responded with just like a, "Hey, I only acknowledge four names on this list." And it's like, that's not the point here. Like, doesn't production doesn't matter. Like, the point here is if this coach can find those five guys in two classes, he's going to keep doing it, and he's going to keep finding them.
And he had one more guy committed who wanted to play a year early, and we didn't have a spot for him. And he became the seventh pick in the draft, Jeremiah Fears,
Yes.
who was the 30-something recruit. So
Yes.
Brad Underwood basically identified six of the best players. And actually, Fears would have played on this team because the guy that they gave an offer to was Brandon Lee right after he decommitted. Like, I think Wagler was occupying the space of what they thought would be the shooting guard, and Fears was the point guard. Like, the skill
Well,
that Brad has, it's like him and Kurt Cignetti. Like,
that's right. Ethan Brown's going to come in and hit 47% of his three-pointers. Lucas Murillo's going to be like Curbelo, but better.
Yeah,
And taller.
we tried that with Petrovic. It did not
Oh,
work.
okay. All right.
All this talk about undervaluing Keaton Wagler kind of reminds me, and I'm sure it reminds you guys of the same. You guys are know what I'm sure you're gonna say your thing, what I'm thinking. Kind of reminds me of that time where Robert, you only gave 1.5 Tom Cruises to Casey Washington, and you completely undervalued him, and he proved your very a
And he lit
lot of
me up on
parallel.
Twitter.
He lit you up on Twitter right there, and you said, "Go prove me wrong, kid." And
Yes.
he did prove you wrong. That's my
The
eight-time
Wake
comp.
Forest transfer.
That's right.
That's right.
The Wake Forest transfer back. John, you got some other quick hitters for us?
One other thing, Robert and Tyler, I feel like we haven't talked enough about how big the Houston win was. Like, it kind of gets forgotten about because you go in 2 days l later and beat Iowa and make the Final Four. But that was like a monumental win, beating a team in their home city that was fourth in KenPom going into that game. Like, the whole rap on Illinois basketball in the tournament is we never beat anyone who is seeded higher than us. And we went in and took Houston's lunch and beat them at their own game. And there was so much, I don't know, talk about how this team wasn't great defensively, or this team is really good at beating nobodies. But then when you play a really good team, they kind of don't stand the test. I think even we had lost, like, going to the tournament, maybe like five straight games against tournament teams. And then all of a sudden, the calendar flipped, and just this team became like a defensive juggernaut in front of our eyes.
This is in my article tonight, but I asked the question, And let's just talk it out. Then I can take it out of my article if I'm wrong. Is Houston the best team we've ever beaten in the tournament? I think they're definitely better than Iowa State 2 years ago. I think the only one, Tyler, that comes to mind is 89 Syracuse.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's what I was gonna say.
89 Syracuse was really good, and that was one seed versus two seed in the Elite Eight.
I mean, that we talked about
And
it. It's Sherman Douglas and Ronnie Cicely and Derek Coleman, and so that's
So I think that's it. I think it's those two games. I think it's
the
either.
Louisville wasn't good. They
I mean,
were,
they were a
but they
four
were Curtis
seed.
Ellison, but they weren't
they.
there yet.
They
Are you
were
talking
fourth
about
in
05
KenPom.
Louisville?
Yeah, they
Yeah.
were
Okay.
fourth
Oh,
in
yeah. Sorry,
KenPom.
sorry, sorry.
I was thinking 89
Because we also beat
Louisville.
Louisville in 89, but that
Wow,
was Sweet 16.
that's
They
kind
had
of,
one
I've
four
never
seed.
thought of like Louisville fans hating Illinois for any reason, but they have to. They just must.
Yeah. So there's yeah, I mean that's really it. Arizona was good in 05, but I think this Houston team beats that Arizona team. So
Josh, I like how we're on the same 05 KenPom page right now. Number 13, Arizona.
Are
Houston
you
clears
seeing the
them.
KenPom rank? Yeah, I mean we can't go back to 89, obviously, but I don't think anybody has the rank of Houston, do they? I
Don't
can't
think
think
so.
of a win that would be in that category. I mean, it's not going to be like Kansas in 0-1 in the Sweet 16. It's not going to be. Yeah, I mean, I can't. It has to be either the Syracuse game in the Elite Eight. They were two seed in 89, or it's Houston in the Sweet 16.
It's either eye
That's it.
test or metrics. Do you believe like Houston's one of the, you go like KenPom, Houston's probably a better KenPom team compared to Syracuse 89, but eye test wise, Syracuse is
You're right.
they were a
You're right.
wagon themselves. So
Yep.
I mean, yeah, that team had two NBA players. Were you describing there?
Billy
The
O,
Syracuse?
four.
At least three. Oh,
Four.
did they have Billy Owens?
Billy Owens, that's right. Yeah. So four. Owens, Coleman, Cicely, and Sherman Douglas. So
Gotcha.
versus,
Yeah, maybe that Houston team's gonna have like two or three. Like Fleming's is gonna be a lottery
Yeah,
pick,
and
but then
CNAC is probably.
yeah, exactly. And like maybe Milo Suzan, but at four NBA guys, that's a beast of a team. Like the
89
Arizona
was
05 team
ridiculous.
had Channing Frye, who was really good, and Salim
Salim Stoudemire.
Stoudemire, but not quite the. I want to say Jordan Hill was a redshirt on that team, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think Houston's better than UConn, right? So if we win Saturday, Houston's maybe a little better win.
Yeah. I mean, I've
As
kind of been
stupid as
saying
that
that.
sounds,
Like,
I don't know if I can
you
put my
just got to
mind
beat
around.
a team you're favored against.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do on Saturday.
Hurley, we talked about this earlier in the week. Hurley scares the shit out of me. Both just in general, he scares me, but also there's just some weird voodoo. I mean, obviously he's an incredible coach, but there's some weird voodoo stuff. Obviously, we have to break the curse of every time UConn makes the Final Four, they, win
Yes.
the whole thing. So that's a curse that we have to. But I'm just I'm afraid of him. He gets away with shit with refs that no one else seems to get away with. I'm afraid of him in a way that I have never been afraid of another opposing coach before.
I just think that he, I mean, there's that, but I think that more than any coach in college right now, I think he gets the most out of his players. I mean, that obviously in 24 that team was a wagon. I'll use that term again. But in 23 they were just okay, and they put it together. And this year that like it's like he said in his, and he got a lot of press for it today. He's like, we don't even hang banners anymore for Final Fours at UConn. We're not here for watches. We're here for rings, whatever he said. And I think that bleeds into the to his players, and that's where that's the one thing you have to question is, there's a lot. I don't want, and I'm glad to hear that what Andrej Šostakovič said last week that, we're not here. We're not just happy to be here. We're going to India to win two games. And I'm glad to have heard him say that and not just be, obviously, like Robert said, as fans, we're just happy to be here. But I know that UConn doesn't believe that. And so but that's where I think that Danny Hurley is at his best, is that level of what he can get from his guys, you know, each and every year, it seems like.
Yeah, I agree. They've been here before. We haven't.
I mean,
And
he has.
right, he has, but some of his players, like that does matter. Experience in the Final Four does matter. So that's something that I'm not going to say I
Yeah.
worry about, but the moment is so big. I don't doubt for a moment Brad's ability to get these guys ready, but yeah, I'm ha I'm happy to be here.
That's what I mean. I'm thrilled.
I'm thrilled to be here.
I mean, has it just been the best week ever? I mean, it's just
Oh.
like last week, I couldn't wait for, I mean, it was driving me nuts. I just please Thursday get here. I just want this game to
Yes.
get over with. This week, I don't want to end. It is so
Yes.
amazing to have the spotlight shine on the program just for a week, and all the media appearances from Brad and from the players and all everything, all the stories from Champaign and all the national stuff. It's just the best.
We asked this in the episode the other day, Tyler, Robert, and Chris, what you guys have to say. We wanted to know. We asked. We went around and said, like, what's your bless you? What's your favorite piece of like your favorite piece of media or something that some like a player said or your favorite like meme or your favorite GIF or your favorite moment or image? And now I guess we have a couple more days for images and media to have gone around. So since the final horn in the Elite Eight, do you have a moment? We talked about like the Mirkovic pulling down the rim or the Andre, have you heard the news? Do you guys have a favorite moment so far?
I mean, let me credit Tyler. The world, and I'll say the world, knows about the Mirkovic moment simply because he and I ran into each other on the court, and he told me, like, they were still on the stage, they were still doing the thing, and they were getting the ladders ready, and he went to the baseline. He's like, "I'm standing right here until they cut down the nets." And he just stood there until that moment happened, and you know. The world knows about that Mirkovic moment simply because Tyler decided to stand there. So,
How many
shout out to
views?
you.
How many views does it have now, Tommy?
It was
Impressions.
at 375 last time I
Woo!
go. Pretty good.
Wow.
Should
Should say 375,000, not
Yes, sir.
375.
Wow. We
Yeah, like it
really.
happens, right? It was 375, you know,
Yes, those of
like
us
yeah,
in
and then my
infamous.
aunt watched is 376.
Wow. Tyler, I gotta be honest, we really missed out when you posted that video. If you had just put hashtag code boardroom 15 under that video that got 376,000 impressions. Oh man, that would have been great.
Yeah, so that's clearly my number one is
Hey,
today.
while I'm doing shout out to you guys for being in the Sun Times today.
Oh yeah, how about
Woo! That was fun.
What
Yeah,
was
shout out
the
to you guys.
phrase? Illini-centric
Po
podcast?
popular,
What?
popular, popular
Oh,
was the
okay. Sorry,
adjective.
sorry. What was the exact words? Exact
Let's
phrasing?
see. Oh God. I mean, look, just for the record, Robert, you brought this up. We did. We are not plugged in
Nah.
this. This is our good buddy Peter, who's the general manager at Robert. Do you know what bar he's the general manager at?
The bar is named Findlay Dunn's, where
Yes,
all Illini fans should watch the semifinal game on Saturday night.
thank you. The is he said? Oh, he said a partnership with the popular Illini-focused podcast, The Boardroom,
Illini-focused podcast. I like
also has
that.
boosted the bar's visibility and foot traffic. Yeah, I mean, I would call us Illini-focused for sure.
Did
We do
you go buy physical copies of the Sun Times to give to like your mom or have it put on the
it.
fridge or something?
Yeah, we don't want the Final Four magazine or the newspaper from the News Gazette. We want this clipping, the one sentence from the 47th page of the Sun Times on a Friday morning, right there. Tyler, do you have a, or I keep saying, Robert, do you have a favorite media moment as well?
No, it's Tyler's turn.
No,
Well, Tyler said,
mine was
he
the
said,
Mirkovic, pulling the net down that I actually
Oh,
filmed. But my
okay.
honorable mention from that same night was Andrei Stojakovic, gosh, Andrei Stojakovic with the newspaper interrupting, saying, "The news just effing broke." I went into the
Yeah.
Final Four. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Is he a journalism major?
Yeah, he
I
had the
mean,
DI copy of the DI has been covering, and they've been doing a great job. They've been all over the place this whole run. But the DI reporters there had pre-printed Final Four newspaper headlines, and he was walking around the court with them, so it was pretty cool.
you know, I was going to
Awesome.
say, after our first win in March Madness, there was like a big outcry because the head of the sports section in the Sun-Times was John Gross in Akron. And everyone was like,
Yeah.
what the, you know what? Like, you're not going
Yep.
to acknowledge Illinois. So, not to give kudos to us, but kudos to us. It's hard to crack the sometimes as Illini guys, apparently.
That's College of Charleston coach John Gross. What do you guys think about that? Can we talk about that for like 60 seconds?
Wait, can we hear Robert's?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're getting we're, it's the
Hold on,
American
the
Mission.
Colonial Athletic Association or whatever, the CAA.
We'll
We'll
get to the
do our
CAA later.
CAA segment.
Yeah.
My favorite piece of media only exists in my mind.
It's secret. It's secret. It's
It's
secret.
secret. It's secret.
It's secret. I
I
got
put
you.
my camera down for it. So I took a picture of Wagler seeing his parents on the court and like hugging his mom. And I was gonna start to take a video, and then I was like, ah, no, this is too private. Like, this is their moment. I'm just gonna stand to the side here. And as I kind of backed away and stood to the side, he got to his sister, and she was like tears in her eyes and like held his cheeks and was like, I am so proud of you. And they both hug and they both had tears in their eyes. And I was like, man, this is freaking it. You know, her little brother, she played JUCO basketball, then she played, I think, D2 or something like that. And you know, and here she gets to be at the Elite Eight, and her little brother goes off for 25 points and leads his team to the Final Four. And she just can't contain how proud she is of what, you know, just think of all the family stories that went on all that time, and him probably getting beat up by his older brother and his sister on the basketball court and this and that. So for them to have that moment was just so pure for me. It's like, this is college sports right here. And now here I am. I'm like, this needs to be a family moment. And what am I doing? I'm talking about it on a popular Illini-focused
Along focus.
podcast.
It's funny, my favorite moment was also one that was not like memeable, but it was rewatching the end of the game and seeing David and Keaton interact. And David's basically crying, hugging Keaton and like not letting go of him. And I don't know, you see so much, you consume so much of David, and he's such like a happy-go-lucky guy, where it seems like everything is like in one ear, out the other, and he's just saying whatever's on his mind. So to see him be like really emotional and be like, wow, we put so much work into this, and like, here's my partner in crime, and here's like the guy that I've been laying it out on the line with and embracing him, that was just beautiful. So like
In the similar vein, you like on those end of the Elite Eight game, you can see like Ben, like he's so excited, and then he just like slowly walks towards the bench, and you can see like all of his like he just becomes relaxed. All of his body just like kind of like shuts down, and it's not like in just a positive way, just being like, we did it. And it's so cool to see for him, obviously a very a lot of the Illini fan base has gone after him in positive and negative ways, and it's just so cool to see him get that like moment of relief that he is now going to be remembered as one of the all-time Illini's, and it was really cool to see.
It really is. I mean, that's the thing for guys like Ben. Like, we remember Jack Ingram because of like three games in 05, you know, like you can cement your legacy for decades just through something like this. And for these guys, they've done it. It's already accomplished.
Yeah, Josh Whitman made a great point as they were leaving. He said, you guys got to make sure that these guys never pay for another
I
drink in
love
champagne
that.
ever again. And it's so true. What all of these guys have done is basically be immortalized. And if they win a national championship, like there's just, they'll
Yeah.
be legends forever.
Can you imagine
Yeah.
champagne next week if they win the whole thing? Like you will fill a football stadium for a celebration in the spring.
I'll tell you a funny story real quick. Just switching internet providers at home. Guy was by today to set up the installation. Talking to him in person. And we're like setting up a date for next week. So we set up like Thursday noon. And as he's leaving, he's like, okay, well, we'll be here Thursday noon. And, you know, we have to maybe trench to this and blah, blah, blah. He's like, of course, unless there's a parade that day. And it just hit me like this, like, holy crap. Like, that's actually. That could actually be it. Like, I could, in less than a week, I could be at a parade. Like, that's an actual thing that could possibly happen. I mean, it might be Wednesday, but or it might be, but like someone else bringing something like that up to me when I think I've had every single line I thought, and the fact that I couldn't, like, oh my God, you're right. I set something up for Thursday, and I might be driving circles around a parade in a fire truck or something. Like, you know, like this is actually happening. So yeah, it's. Can I
Robin,
say
that
another thing about the fire chart?
makes I do. You're gonna drive it. You're gonna
What
drive
if I
it.
started the year taking the Illini, the 05 team, to the stadium for the reunion, and then I ended the year like being in the parade for the national champions? How about
Whoa,
that? Evelyn's.
that doesn't get. I forgot about that. I remember, Robert, you kind of gave us a little secret, texted us
There's a
this.
great video out there of me freaking out that D or Darren is going to fall off the top when they're getting down, and I'm just in the background like, okay, step there, now hold on there, like my grandkids are getting off the top or something.
I forgot about that, Robert. You texted us like 3 days before the football season started. Like, can you guys
Yeah, can you keep a very big secret?
keep secret? Can you keep secret?
Keep secret. That's what Tommy
And
whispered.
that was the secret. And for it to be
The
full
05
circle,
team was on the fire truck.
Robert, you also made me really jealous in talking about that. I almost feeling jealous that being like in Champaign, living there during a Final Four run where like it's just so community centric around this team, where of course the internet provider guy's not gonna be working that day if there's a parade. Like, of course the stores down the street are gonna be closed if there's a parade. Of course the entire, town is gonna shut down Saturday night and Monday night if there's a game. I really miss that part about living in Champaign and living in Champaign during college. The whole community rallies around the university, and that just made me so jealous to be in Champaign during a run like this.
Just this morning, I went to Einstein at University in Lincoln to get coffee and a bagel. And I got my wife a coffee and I was driving back home. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to drive down Green Street. Like, why? Why? Yeah, it's annoying and there'll be students in crosswalks and this and that. But I'm not going to take University across. I'm not going to go down to Kirby. I'm going to just go straight through the heart of campus. And when I get to Alma Mater, they're just putting the Kylan Boswell jersey onto the statue. And so I got out and I'm taking pictures and then I'm driving the rest of Green Street. And it was just like, man, this place is just captivated by this. It is what I remember from 89 and 05, and it's just amazing.
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous.
The one thing that Robert and Tyler might be jealous of us though is that we have in-office jobs right now, and this is just peak water cooler talk.
Oh man,
Like,
the
this
water
is
cooler is
the best
crazy.
week ever for every person who knows that you're a big Illinois fan to be like, hey, Final Four, congrats. Like, I have been eating this up so much, right? This is
So
like,
true.
okay, your niche band that you love just got nominated for 7 Grammys. We were talking about all this stuff when it was just an irrelevant team. So now everyone's come in paying their dues and giving you the respect of Final Four. I mean, you got to be going to Indy, right? Like, this is great.
I mean, it's to that point, it's also just one of those things where it's so universal that people who don't know what the Final Four is still know that it's a big deal. Like, I think, like Robert said, when he got in the plane last week, it's been that way here, just walking around. I mean, people in the grocery store, people at the gym. I had the gas station guy at Costco say, "Hey, nice line I had. Are they gonna do it this weekend?" That kind of stuff. I mean, that's all the stuff that makes this week so fantastic.
I saw a lot of Illini gear this week, walking around the gym, walking around just randomly on the street. There's a lot of Illinois gear this week. I did see a little bit of Michigan gear. I know Sam always has a bone to pick about this. I did see some Michigan gear. Didn't see any Arizona gear. Didn't see any UConn gear, but it was mostly Illinois and a little bit of Michigan.
What's my bone to pick?
I feel like you just have like a you just you love Michigan fans living in Chicago.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I just feel like
Actually,
you give them a hard time.
my wife and I were at an appointment, and the doctor was like, He's like, my kids were, the way I said that is like not good. But he was like, my kids, two of them went to Michigan. I went to Michigan. My daughter went to Illinois. She was just like, Michigan's not for me, so I'm going to the Final Four. I'm rooting for Michigan, but I'm happy for Illinois. He's like, and he's like probably like close to retiring. He's like full of wisdom. He's like, I don't hate Illinois. I don't get that. I don't get people who like hate Michigan. Like, I want to be happy for everyone. I'm just like staring at my wife.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the appointment, she's like, okay, well, you should know Sam hates Michigan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm
You
so
need to
sorry. Like,
know that
I'm
he's
not a bad
boiling
person.
inside.
I'm not a bad person. I just have this belief that I feel very strongly about. And if it makes you feel any better, I hate everyone else too in the Big Ten.
You guys still want to talk about John Gross moving to college from Charleston?
That is
Is that
weird.
not a is that not a is that not a lateral move?
I mean, job wise, sure, but I mean, you want to live in Akron or do you want to live in Charleston, South Carolina?
Well, I've never been to either, so is one of them better?
I mean, College of Charleston 25 years ago was a just trying to think of a comp of recent. They weren't a flash of the pan. Like they would win their tournament and be like a 12 seed trying to upset people.
They had an upset. They had a 5-12 upset 1 year. I'm gonna look
Yeah,
it up.
they were that constantly a 12 and nobody wanted to play them. And they were that like, okay, of all the mid majors, you know, they are close to still getting in even if they don't win their conference tournament. So, I mean, in that sense, that's better than Akron, but still. It's just weird.
It's a
You
great
get
hire
some
for
people are
them.
talking about him moving up to like a power conference job.
You get to live in Akron, no offense to the people that live in Akron, or you get to live in Charleston, and it seems like a very clear answer there.
My read on this is really it has to be like NIL and some sort of like resources that he would be getting at Charleston that maybe is getting pulled back at Akron or just like there's some level of competitiveness because I feel like for Gross, he kind of understands to get back to the Power Five, you need to like win games in the tournament. And it's so hard at the mid-major level when your best players then just get cannibalized and move up. So I'm guessing he is going to get like outsized resources compared to the rest of his conference. And like the MAC, maybe there's a little bit of competition and then try to springboard that for 2 years from now because he saw Chris Mack go to Southern Florida, right? USF. Like, maybe he's like, okay, this will get me to the AAC. And like, I've done really good things in the MAC. And I don't know if me consistently doing that is still going to get me where I want to go. Like, look at how difficult it is to schedule now for Miami of Ohio. So.
I thought they'd, I mean, you know, like remember, Travis Steele is his brother, the Miami, Ohio coach. So, like, they got to face each other, half brother, but like, they got to face each other. So, like, it's just weird. So, he built it up on MAC, right? Goes to the Big Ten, doesn't cut it. Goes back to MAC. Best MAC program in the last 5 years, easily. And then, you know, somebody who finds their way back and it's like, this is, I fit this kind of Ohio, Michigan, second tier conference. Like, this fits me, and I can go to the tournament and this and that, and then go to Charleston. It's just weird. Just didn't you learn? I can understand you don't want to go up a thing, but like, what? I don't know. Doesn't make sense.
Charleston did, as of 12, upset Maryland in 1997. They've one NCAA tournament win as a program in 8 appearances. They lost
Eight.
to
Eight
Arizona.
appearances. Have they been in a while? I don't
They have
remember their
not
name in a
been
while.
since. Let me go back.
The Hofstra won it
20,
this
2020.
year.
They were there in
Hofstra won it.
2024. They were a
But yeah,
13.
Pat Kelsey got them there in 2024. I was just
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I
Yeah.
was I was just on the campus of College of Charleston this
Back to back,
past
23, 23.
week, and it is like a very it like gives it kind of gives like High Point vibes. Like, there's just a lot of money vibes. So I guess I could see like Pat
Sure.
Kelsey as well, Chris Mack. So
Kelsey
that's kind
went
of my
from where to there to Louisville? Where was
he
he
went
before?
Winthrop.
He
went Winthrop,
Winthrop to there to Louisville.
which is they we he was the coach of Winthrop when we played Winthrop.
Oh, and
Is that
lost.
mostly?
Oh, and the little guard head third.
Yes, and John Gross was our coach.
Yes.
Oh,
There
Johnny,
you
bring it
go.
all
Wow, it's full
back together.
circle. I mean, Sam, good call. It's so funny that this happened this week, though, because there's an alternate universe in which John Gross beats Texas Tech and Alabama. They make the Sweet 16, and we lose in the round of 32. And there's conversations of like, wow, like John Gross has surpassed Brad Underwood. And the point that I'm trying to make is like the Final Four literally heals all, right?
Yes.
Now that like Brad is in a bulletproof vest for the next 3 years, I would say.
Decade.
Right? And it's a bulletproof vest, but you know, we're just going to stay consistent and keep making the tournament. Like the consistency is like the baseline. And now we're also getting the ceiling. But it's another reminder of just how seemingly great of a spot we're in as long as Brad Underwood is at the helm.
You never take it for granted, obviously, success again with the Illinois teams that we watched. But yes, it feels like the floor is higher than the ceiling had been for so long. The floor is a ho-hum tournament experience. The floor is you're probably at the very least favored in your fir going to be favored in your first game of the tournament, probably in the second game, and a very likely shot at the Sweet 16. Like, that's your floor. We've talked about it before. Like, you keep taking bites at this apple, eventually it's going to crack. That's exactly what happened this year. Is you finally got a bite at the apple and you took a big enough bite and you hit. The talent has just been raised so much higher that it feels like, yeah, it's almost a shoo-in. It's almost a foregone conclusion. We don't even talk, oh, are we going to make the tournament anymore? That
Yeah.
still feels preposterous to me.
Brad Underwood, Josh Whitman, and Brett Bielema laughed at our expectations and spit it in our faces when we said, please just go 6-6 and make the tournament. They said, no, this is Illinois. We're going to go win 10 wins in football and 9 wins in football and say, this is not good enough. And we're going to make 6 straight tournaments and make the Final Four and say, this is still not good enough. Our goal is a national championship. Like those three guys recognized what we had. And so many of us were pretty modest our expectations, and we are just so incredibly lucky that they didn't take good for an answer. They said this is an elite institution.
I
Well,
don't know if you guys listened to Light the Eye on Monday, but Ella was our producer for Monday's episode.
it was
She's
amazing. Yeah.
a sophomore at Illinois in journalism. And so far in her college career, Citrus Bowl, round of 32, Music City Bowl over Tennessee, Final Four. That's her sports experience in the first four bites of the apple that she's had. It's just incredible. And I know I don't have to tell you guys. You guys hit the 4 year window that's maybe the worst 4 year window that anybody could have, but still. Like, it's just like Citrus, yeah, beat South Carolina in Citrus, beat Tennessee in the Music City, lose to Kentucky in the round of 32, and then go to the Final Four. Incredible.
And I remember you guys talking to her earlier in the year, just asking about her excitement for the team. And she kind of talked about, well, oh, yeah, Wagler, like he's going to be a one and done. We kind of have this every year with Will Riley and KJ being one and done. And it was like,
That's our reality.
your reality is one and done's every year. And the first one and done ever was Kasper Kristiakou-Jonas. And the second one and done ever was the next pick in the draft. Like,
Crazy.
we are living in two different universes,
Yes.
but I was thinking when you guys were talking about that, Robert, is this the best school year of combined football and basketball success?
I mean, I think it's 83 and 84 because it was Rose Bowl plus Elite Eight.
Yeah, that's the Kentucky loss. Yeah.
And had we beat Kentucky and gone to the Final Four, that locks it up. Now,
Yeah, thank
nine
you.
and
Thank you.
three and win it all? Well, win it all
If you
trumps
have national
everything. Yeah,
championship
that's
teams,
it.
that
That's
just
it.
the
Yeah.
you could be national championship in 6-6 in football, and it's still probably the best
You're
school.
right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
But hey, boys, I gotta roll. So,
We'll see you Saturday.
How many? So the whole crew in Indy?
Oh
Whole crew.
yeah.
Nice.
Oh yeah. We're gonna be there. We're
I
nice
will
and early. We
look
got a
forward
party
to
of
that.
nine. We got a party of nine.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I can't wait to see you guys. Thanks again for having
We'll
me
see
on.
you there.
See
See
you,
you soon,
Tyler.
Tyler.
Safe travels.
The good news is we had, I think, maybe one or two more bullet point items, and Robert will let you pretend to go to sleep here. We want to know, we're gonna just run me through your Saturday. I want to know what your Saturday looks like, from wake till hopefully late in the night. Run us
Doubtful there's a
through.
wake. I think it's just going to be continued staying up.
You're right. You're right. I'm going to write an SOC Friday night and then I'm going to struggle to sleep. It's hard to say. From this view, I think it's just going to be enjoy it. I was so nervous for the Houston game because it would determine the season. And I wasn't nervous. I was full of dread for the Iowa game of just like what life would be like online for me for 5 years if we lost to a bad Iowa team in the Elite Eight with a chance to go to the Final Four. Now we're in gravy land, and I know we're favored, but I don't have any. I'm just gonna enjoy it. I'm just gonna soak it in. Like my plan for Saturday is to see as many people as I can. I'm going to the official event in the convention center or whatever, and I'm gonna live it up there as much as I can and enjoy and do as little media and as much enjoyment of it. Look, if we win, people are gonna want me to write that article from a place of pure fandom. And so I feel like the best thing I can do Saturday is like as little media and as much fandom as I possibly can.
Where are you sitting for the game?
Won't find out until Saturday. They put up the chart. There's media seats everywhere. But it's, every, the Philadelphia newspaper will have reporters there, and the San Jose paper will have, it's like a whole bunch of national media. So how they seat it and, whether people are up in the football press box up at the top or, there's some media seats around the court. There's some behind one of the baskets about halfway up. And so I'll find out Saturday when they assign where Tyler and I are or where we're sitting. We probably won't be together. They'll usually do like one person from each outlet gets this seat and then the other person gets, something else. So
It better do it that way.
yes, one would hope. Yes. The only thing I've ever asked of the whole thing is
Fairness.
just do it for like if it's not somebody's full-time job, I would hope that that person takes a back seat to somebody who makes their living doing this. Because the idea of this, everybody kind of fakes like oh, we have a ton of people working or we this and that. That's fine, and I'm glad your little project, but for some of us, this is our life, and I don't have another job that I can rely on for income, and these are big moments for me. So hopefully, that is acknowledged. But I know that my zany fandom stuff doesn't help my standing in the NCAA folks that make that decision, because if they go check my Twitter account, I certainly don't look like a journalist who should be, seated in the good seats. So we'll see.
You're saying, Tyler, if you're listening, let's swap seats if he gets a good one and you okay.
I was
Because
going
I
to
mean,
say,
it's your
guys,
full-time job, so.
Operation Boardroom, get a media pass and get a better seat than Robert. We might have to head
Oh,
out.
that'd be great.
Not a good look.
That'd be great. Yeah.
I would not. I would obviously give you my seat, Robert.
We're going to
Yep.
be so far away, but I'm just happy I'm in the stadium. I could care less what my sight line is, my vantage point. Like, I want to obviously watch the game, but like, I'm physically in the stadium. I physically have a seat. I have a ticket. I'm there to wear orange. I'm there to yell. I'm there to try to watch the game. I'm just there to physically be a body in one of those seats there. I think that's the mission on Saturday night.
We did have a debate with our friend Russell, who went to Michigan, and he asked us, oh, so like win or lose who you're going to stay for the Michigan game, Michigan Arizona game, and immediately Josh and I were just like, if we lose, we're out of there. Like, if we lose, there is, and nowhere that I would want to be on the planet less than watching these Michigan fans have a chance to make the national championship game. But
Yes.
it's, fandom is such an interesting thing because we're going there knowing we're not getting a great view. We're going there knowing that there's a good chance it doesn't go our way, but it's like that this is the only path is to just to be there with the people and knowing that this is a once in a 20 years occurrence that you have to be there.
Yep. And it's like somebody asked me if I was approaching the prospect of losing to Michigan in the title game the same as like the prospect of losing to Iowa in the, and no, Iowa would have been a disaster for me. Michigan in the title game, yeah, it would suck, but I don't have the same feelings as I had with the Iowa thing. It's just something about making the Final Four. Like if this was a, I was thinking about this today. If this was, say they did these as like three game series when you make the Final Four, that would probably be a little more fair kind of thing. Like say the NBA did their finals as like, okay, here's the final four teams. This one game between those two, one game between those two, winners play each other, that's your NBA champion. You're gonna have, I said this before the season, like of the last 20 NBA champions, what do you have? 12 would be different if it was wasn't seven game series, because every because it's just random, For some reason, that thought really encourages me going into this weekend.
Yes, this is great for
If they
us.
were 2 5-game series, I don't think I'm not feeling good about coming out of there with a trophy. One game, one game, one game. We could do it.
And
One
one of
time.
them you're favored in.
Yeah.
So then you just gotta have a 4-10 outcome against a Michigan or an Arizona.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it too. It's like if you beat Arizona, now you have replaced the greatest win in Illinois history of the Elite Eight game with the national championship with the same team. Or if you beat Michigan, you have avenged the worst loss in program history, probably in that Final Four game. So either way, you've kind of got this like really full circle opportunity. And it's cool that it's these two teams. Obviously, like we would have loved to have North Carolina be the other team, but that the highest of highs are possible with this. So it's so exciting.
The number one thing I'm most excited about is seeing the Illinois jersey from that camera angle. Like the Final Four has its own feel, different than any other basketball game that's played anywhere. Like my first thought when I'm saying that is the Jalen Suggs shot, the like half court shot to win. Like you just picture what that angle is like of the camera, and for somebody tuning in who doesn't really even know, I can just picture somebody at a bar with the Final Four games on, and they're like, what is that? Are they like, is this like the hockey thing where they play in a baseball? Like, what's going on over there? That doesn't look right. I'm excited to see Illinois jerseys on the screen when it doesn't look right. Like, it's been so long since we had that. Wow, this looks weird. And we've never played in a Final Four since they went to the, you know what? Forget splitting the dome in half and just doing, half the court on, between the 50 and the goal line. Let's just put it in the at the 50 and have the entire stadium. We haven't played a game like that since they switched the Final Four to being the full stadium. Like the 05 Final Four was half a stadium. So I'm just excited to see that with Illinois. Like I just can't wait for that moment to see what that looks like.
We've never been on a bigger stage. Ever. We've never been on a bigger
Quite
stage than Saturday.
literally.
Quite
Yes.
literally.
Yep.
Whoo! Robert, we'll see you there on Saturday.
Yep. Johnny, you got anything else? Did I answer all your questions?
Well, no, I wanted to draw back to
Johnny's got
you.
20
I
questions
mean,
more.
I could
Okay.
just
You get one more, and then I got to go finish my article.
okay. So 2005, when you went to the national championship game, what was that experience like? And just kind of like prime us for going to our first Final Four.
Saturday was a lot of fun. It was close for a half, and then we kind of blew out Louisville in the second half. And we were pretty confident that we were going to roll them. It was kind of like just a matter of time game. My main memory from 05 is I went with my stepdad. Let's see, my mom got remarried. Let's see, I'm going to do the math here. My dad died in 93. My mom got remarried in 98. So they had been married 7 years. So I went with my stepdad in the dome with 90 seconds left and the game tied at 70. I turned to him and my buddy who was in the, it was him and his dad in the other two seats. And I said, like this 90 seconds determines everything for me. Like either we score more points than North Carolina in these 90 seconds, or they score more points than we do. And, you know, and then I'm forever left feeling that. So 05 has always had this because we were number one all year, because we were supposed to win. You know, there's the bitterness of that. We climbed all the way back to 70-70 and we couldn't win. And you know, we couldn't win 90 seconds of basketball. And so I'm kind of trapped in that moment when I think of Final Four. So, you know, this will then replace it and we'll see what happens. It's this surreal moment where it won't feel real the entire time. Part of that is what I just talked about with the field looking different in the court, and you know, it's just totally different. But part of that is just the vibe as you're walking in, and you know, all the fans and everything that's happening downtown is just like, okay, this is definitely different. And you know, 80 minutes of basketball here.
We'll get this, and then we'll get that walk for the Rose Bowl, and then our lives will be complete,
What
right?
do I do then? What am I supposed to do next
Yeah.
after that?
That's right. Pick a band, start following them against.
I guess seven Grammys. Robert, that got me goosebumps just thinking about what Saturday is going to be now. That got us excited. I think anyone who's listening, who's on their way now to Indianapolis, who's about to exit the highway, got amped.
It's pure bliss.
Yeah. Maddie, I would love for us to talk a little bit about just the game. Like, Robert,
You
I,
mean preview the game?
yeah,
Because
exactly.
we've been doing that this whole time.
We've not really talked
We
about that at
it's
all.
funny. After we beat Iowa, it was like 40 minutes in, and I was like, do you guys want to talk about the game? We talked for like 45 minutes before we actually started. We're not really an X's and O's podcast is our thing. We're more of like a vibes. We're more of a vibes show.
Well,
Big
I'm
time
going to
stock
go
show.
finish my article and I'm going to let you guys talk about, what was
Will
it,
you tell
basketball? Is
Tyler to
that what you
come?
call the sport?
Tell Tyler to come back on because he's the one that actually knows how to
That's
break.
a good point. You never asked him a single question.
When
You
Tyler
just
was
asked
leaving, I was
Robert
like,
questions.
shit. When Tyler
Right.
was leaving, I was like, shit, we need him back. Robert, thank you for joining us. We will
You got it,
see
guys.
you Indianapolis on Saturday.
Can't wait. See you there.
See you there.
Indianapolis.
It's like that commercial.
Yeah.
Indianapolis. Look, if y'all want to break film down, I can't stop you, but I also can't contribute in the way, Johnny, in which I know that you'd like for me to break down film on UConn.
I'm not asking you to break down film on UConn. I just want to like talk about the players on our team, and if
Oh,
anyone feels
sure.
strongly about like, I don't know, maybe Josh has a hunch that a certain player is really gonna like do something great here. Like, I just think about we have so few opportunities left to talk about this team
Johnny doesn't want this
before
to
it.
end.
I don't want it
Johnny,
to end.
tomorrow.
Exactly.
Tomorrow, I know tomorrow.
Exactly.
Johnny's texting us tomorrow. Do you guys want to do another episode
Yeah.
tomorrow? And then on the car ride there, and then on the way to the stadium, and then at
Oh.
halftime. No, Johnny, I love it. I respect it. I'm so with you. Like this has been just a magical week. I've spent so much time thinking about Illinois. I spent so much time thinking about this team and the game. So I don't blame you for wanting to hang on to this moment. It's kind of like when your mom picks you up and it's like it's time to go, and then you're like, "Can I get 5 more minutes?" And she's like, "Okay, 5 more minutes." And then 5 minutes happens, and then you're like, "All right, can I get like 3 more minutes?" And she's like, "Okay, 3 more minutes." And
Yeah.
it's like, "All right, Johnny, it's time to get in the car. Your play date is over." And you're like, "I want to talk about Mihailo maybe coming in and scoring at the
Yeah.
end." And I respect the hell out of that.
Do I have a hunch, Johnny? Was that
Yeah,
your question?
do you have a hunch?
I don't have a hunch, Johnny, but all I'm thinking about is don't go away from what we've been doing. Like it's been Keaton and David leading the show, Stojakovic coming in off the bench, and he should still be coming off the bench. Shout out our friend Sam. Because that's the formula that's been working in this tournament. It's the formula that got us here, and I don't want to move away from that. And I know that Ben and Jake are going to knock down some open shots. I know Tommy's going to be Tommy. Zvani's going to be Zvani. And that's led us to victory so far. And I don't have a hunch, Johnny. I don't have a hunch.
I get it. No, shout out Sam, shout out Elliot, who's also been clamoring, being like, Andrei Sirakovich deserves to get his name announced as one of the starters,
That's
which I
not
do,
a bad
which
comment at
I
all.
do agree with him on that. He does deserve the recognition, but at the same time, for us to win the national championship, we've been better with Andrei Stojakovic coming off of the bench. And I think part of that is because he and Kylan have a bit of a similar game, which is you're going to like guard the team's best player and you're maybe not going to be the best shooter on the floor. So let's try to space out your minutes versus Jake and Ben also play similar roles on the team. And it's like we want to keep those guys on the floor at different times. So we always have a dude who's spacing and hitting threes. And Josh, I think my hunch that I've been thinking about all week is I can't wait for that just chill out guys three from Jake Davis. You know it's happening in the corner and it's when we need it. And it's just, he does not seem like someone who's going to be fazed by this big moment. He's just someone who is like, I came here to play some ball. And even though it's in his home state, even though it's on a football stadium, actually, Jake Davis has already played at Lucas Oil. He played in the state championship as a tight end there. So
Deep pull. I was gonna say, I need these guys to
cool.
take like 700 threes in the shoot around tomorrow, just to get used to the weird
Sightlines.
backdrop, the weird sight line.
That's a good March Madness bingo.
That is such a March Madness bingo.
I was looking at before how many games each Final Four team has played in an NBA stadium this year to
Wait,
understand like
NFL
how
stadium or NBA stadium?
NBA just to like understand how well we acclimate to different sight lines. And then I realized like that was the most ridiculous exercise ever. Lucas Oil Stadium is not even like an NBA stadium, so
And it's also
sight.
really bad statistic for us, so I really hate that you brought it up.
That is true. I also had that thought.
Did we win in
Tennessee.
one?
Ever hear of the Toyota Center in Houston?
Yeah,
Oh,
that's
never mind. I'm thinking of the
Tennessee
UC.
has NBA stadium tendencies.
That
It's
was an
just,
NHL stadium?
I
They
know.
don't
Yeah,
have an NBA team,
there
though.
actually
So, like,
has
that would
been.
not be an NBA. That would not be an
Okay.
NBA
All right.
stadium.
There's
All
been a
right.
lot of talk today about who was it LeBron today who said like
Yeah,
he
he's
said
everyone's
LeBron
been
James
going
LeBron.
after Memphis.
Yeah. And he's like, just move the team to Nashville already.
But like from LeBron's perspective, like is he like gonna go out on Broadway? Like is that his vibe? No. So why does he care?
Kevin Durant was talking about the West End specifically in
This is
Memphis.
perfect for our
So
Final Four podcast.
I think the explosion of,
Adults went to bed, so we're now kind of
yeah.
just unaccompanied.
If you are driving to Indianapolis early in the morning right now, this is the part where you might fall asleep at the wheel and
Wake up! We're going to the Final Four. Sam, I feel like there's I can do some of the other of your bingo card. The other is like the
lay
obviously
it on me.
the like raised stadium, or the bench beneath the stadium, I should say,
Oh,
where the court is like
yeah.
raised and they gotta stand up. Okay, so that's half my bingo card, half my bingo card right there
Well,
for
you're
my
not getting the
see.
free space.
See,
I'm
I
not.
think as an offensive rebounding team, we're better in a scenario like this
Yeah.
because other teams might not shoot as well, but like us not shooting as well, okay, that's fine. We'll just go get the offensive rebound.
This is
That's a great
yes.
point, Johnny.
This is the advanced like analytics that the sight lines are worse, so they're shooting worse, so we're
It
getting more boards.
evens it out. It makes it just like a weirder. It turns it into a scrum a little bit, especially when you play like Arizona or Michigan, who maybe, yeah, in a 10 game series, you're not going to win as many games, but just fewer possessions. And all we just got to do is win one. And my hot take too is I think Big Z hits a three. He's
Oh,
like
Donnie,
two
I was
for,
thinking that. I
he,
swear I was thinking
yeah,
that. He's so
he's like
due.
two for his last 29. I
He's
was looking
so
at it.
due.
He's so due. He was a 37% 3-point shooter his first year at Kentucky. He was a 37% 3-point shooter at Arkansas before this, a 2-for-9, 29 stretch. Does anyone have a guess what his shooting percentage was?
I'm going to say 36,
37%.
37.
Like,
And he's got contacts now, so
yes,
like,
exactly. And
who does he know in Indy?
The eye doctor.
Okay.
so I'm thinking, yeah, we're getting one. He might even go 3 for 8, which would be 37.5%. But
He's taking 8 threes on Saturday.
no, in the two games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's going like 1 for 3 in one of the games and 3 for 5 in the other game. So
We
we'll
can
see if
call
it's
him
which game it is.
Zvitline
Zvani. Oh, which reminds me, Sam, you want to do an impression this evening?
I just thought at the end of we can save it for the end. I think like at the end of the podcast, we should all do like
Is this not
our.
the number?
This is the middle. This is the middle. That's really up to
Oh. That's usually up to Johnny.
Should
That's usually up to Johnny when the
we
end
could
is.
well, what we could do is we could talk for another hour and just release this as two parts if you guys and I
I
know
think we're okay.
I got we got plenty to talk about.
Whenever the end is, if it is right now, I thought it'd just be fun to do like a David, like I get it out of your system
Yeah,
to do like a everyone gets to do like one David impression or something, or just go around the horn. I've been doing it like all week. It's not healthy.
do you want to
You think I have a baby? Do I look like I'm a baby?
it? Okay. Nailed it. Nailed it.
What's
In if I was not playing and we
I'll kill
lost, I would
myself.
kill myself.
Well, I
Yeah.
was gonna just do like a real life version of if we lost to Michigan in the national championship game,
Yeah.
I will kill myself. That was
He's
my
the best.
impression.
He is
Good
the
job,
best.
guys. I can't top that. When we do our Balkan trip, though, like we could do like an immersive language course or class or something there.
And cuisine
Did
and
you see
cuisine
that
for
Tommy was
steaks.
talking about
Jake
Jake and
Davis
he
said,
said Jake's
yes.
coming to the Balkans and I was like, "Oh my God, we need to go at the same time."
Could you imagine? Could just imagine the scenario. Imagine this summer, Johnny. So starting Monday, we win the national championship. The four of us take a Balkan trip because we said on the first game of the season, if we won the Natty, we would take a Balkan trip. We land, we see Jake and Zvonimir and Tommy. That would be the best moment of my life. That would be the best
It
moment
would
of
be
your life.
amazing.
That wouldn't be the best moment necessarily of Josh or Sam's life, but it'd be the best moment of my life, and it'd be the best moment of your life. And I would just, we would implore, require that we hung out with them, whether they wanted to or not. These guys that are like a decade younger than us, we would be like, can we interest you in hanging out with us?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Jake Davis and Tommy and
Jake
Svante. Can we
Davisich.
buy you some beers? Like,
Hey, are you guys old enough here?
yeah. Oh my God. And
You guys?
Tommy was like, I'm gonna introduce Jake to my friends. He's gonna have my mom's cooking. And I was
My
like,
wife, we're gonna
I
find him a
yeah,
wife.
we're gonna
My
find him a
wife.
Croatian wife. I was like, damn, I wanna know what Tommy's friends are like down in the
Yeah.
Balkans.
When he said that and he was like, Jake needs to work on the language, I was admittedly today years old when I learned that pretty much all the languages in the Balkans are the same. So there's Croatian and Serbian, and they share 97% mutual intelligibility, according to Google. Did you guys know that? Because I was like, oh, like we're kind of generalizing the Balkans. Like, yeah, they're all from the Balkans, but like, does Mihailo know the same language as Andre, who knows the same language as Vani and Tommy?
Let me tell you something. The language of basketball is universal, no matter where you're
Secret,
from.
secret, secret, secret. No, I
Ah,
can't say.
fellas, I just want to say something. I know that this is the last, potentially, it's not the last episode of the year, but I know that the next episode that we record, it could be a really exciting one. It could be also just a not really exciting one. So I just want to acknowledge how much fun this has been so far. And to remind you guys, the three of y'all, and everyone who's listening, to still enjoy the shit out of this. because you cannot take it for granted, because you don't know what's going to happen on Saturday, because you don't know what's going to happen on Monday, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future, because it's been 21 years. So, just a reminder that this fucking rules, and to enjoy this and enjoy every moment from when we get in the car at 4 a.m. to when we get to Indy and we go to the fan fest and we hang out with people and we get beers and we get food and we get to the stadium and they announce the starting lineups and the ball's tipped and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To really, really enjoy the moment.
Could not agree more, Maddie. It's weird. I'm still not nervous about the game because I have a little bit of a feeling of like there's only positive. Like we lose the game and it's, well, we made the Final Four and this is an amazing season. Now, I might feel like in that moment, hey, we got so close to a national championship and it's going to be so hard to get back. But right now, it's gravy land, as Robert called it. And it's, we don't get to experience this a lot, so just soak every single moment of it in, and we sleep in May, as John Rothstein likes to say, and just soak it all in.
Hell yeah. 4 a.m. start time on Saturday morning. I'll see you guys at
Yeah,
four in the morning,
please.
4 a.m. bright and early. And it's gonna be a ball. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to this special episode of The Boardroom. We will catch you on the next one.